We began Psalm 119 last week, highlighting the high points in Psalms, if that's the right way to word it. But looking at some of the key Psalms, and we looked at the Scripture Psalm, Psalm 119, the Scripture Psalm. We saw last week that of the 176 verses in this Psalm, Psalm 119, 172 of them make reference to the words of God, either by calling them commandments or statutes or precepts or testimonies. One word or another describes the Bible. Also, all 176 verses, every single one of them, make a reference to God. Whether it's His words, His past, His truth, He, His, whatever it might be, every verse refers to God. Almost every verse refers to the Word of God. And we have kind of a triangle there, if you would. The psalmist, God, and the words of God. You know what the psalmist knew? The psalmist knew that you cannot survive your Christian life without the Word of God. Now, you can get by. You can go from Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday to Wednesday and maybe fill in one day or two here and there with a devotional booklet or something. But you cannot have a successful and victorious and full Christian life. You cannot walk with God without having a daily infusion of the Word of God. You and I that are living in the world, that we are infused with everything else that's going on. Even if you don't want to, you're going to hear about the things that are going on in the world. You can't shut off the coronavirus. Because everywhere you go, there's going to be some reminder of it. Even when we're not in a time of a pandemic or something along that line, you can't shut the world out. It's in the store when you shop. It's in the places that you eat. It's in the people that you see. It's in those that you converse with. You're going to be part of this world. If we're going to get all that from all those other sources and yet go day for day, from day to day to day without anything from the Word of God, how in the world can we expect or think that we're walking with God like He desires us to do it? So we need a daily infusion of the Word of God. And Psalm 119 is the chapter that impresses upon us our need to have it all the time. Last week we looked at a series of what the Bible is. Do you remember that? What the Bible is. Let me recount those very quickly. It is water for cleansing. The Bible is water for cleansing. You and I need that. The Bible is wealth and treasure. We found these in Psalm 119. The Bible is wealth and treasure. I was reading today in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 44. And I won't tell you much because it's going to be a sermon here in a couple of weeks. But I was reading today, and as I was reading it, not for the first time, I read it and I thought, why have I never seen this before? There was a trail, there was a line of things. I'm so prone to tell you what it is, but I don't want to tell you. None of your business. Not yet. Not till I preach on it. But there's a phrase in that chapter that appears 11 times. And then a story behind it that leads up to it. And I thought, boy, that's good. And you know, you don't get that unless you're reading your Bible and digging wealth and digging for treasure. Those 49ers, not the football team now, but those 49ers, 1849, when they went out west and they took their pans and they panned for gold. They didn't find gold every time they panned. They went through a lot of efforts panning when there was nothing that showed from it. But when they found some, it made up for all the times they didn't get anything when they were panning. If you know this, when you read your Bible, you're not going to come out with some nugget of gold every time you read it. But you're not going to find a nugget if you don't read it. And so we need the Bible. It is our wealth and treasure. We talked about last week, it is our counselor. We walk in its sage advice. It is our song. We need a song. Psalm 40 says He's put a new song in my mouth. We need the song that comes from the Word of God. Number 5 last week in talking about what the Bible is, it's honey. We talked about it is great spoil. which is better even than wealth and treasure. And we talked about it being a lamp and an heritage. So those eight things last week, what the Bible is. Tonight we're looking at what the Bible does. Again, we'll look at a series of eight things. We saw last week that all of these verses, 176, are divided into 22 sections of eight verses. So we're kind of following that line of eight and looking tonight at what the Bible does. If I spend 10 minutes on each of these 8 points, we'll be out in an hour and a half. If I spend 5 minutes on each one, we'll be out in 40 minutes. Can I do that? That's the challenge. What the Bible does, number one, look at verse 1. Psalm 119, again, all the things we're looking at tonight are in this psalm. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. What the Bible is, or what the Bible does, number one, it blesses. Verse 1 and 2 tells us, it's blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. They keep His testimonies. We're blessed. We're blessed when we read the Bible daily. Now the word blessed sometimes means happy, but not all the time. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We're not making God happy. We're praising Him. We're thanking Him. And the word blessed doesn't mean that we're happy because we walk in the law of the Lord. There's times when you will be discouraged, but the law of the Lord will lift your spirits. I'd rather be blessed than unblessed. And we get blessed by reading the Word of God. If I were to tell you this morning when you woke up, if you'll check your bank account, there will be a stimulus check that was put in during the night while you were sleeping. You know what you'd do? You'd run over and go online and check your account and find that money in there, and you'd bless the Lord, oh my soul. You would be blessed by it. The same thing's true when you get up in the morning and open this book. You'll be blessed by it. That might be in a different way than that money that was put into your account, but the blessing is still going to be evident. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. You want to be blessed? Read the Bible every day. It really is that simple. You know what Psalm chapter 1 says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 1 agrees with Psalm 119 in saying that the blessed man is the one that meditates in the Word of God, that reads the Bible daily. I know we live in a fast world. We live in a busy world. So many times, I know I get up in the morning, the minute my feet hit the ground, the day starts. You got things to do, places you got to be, responsibilities and all that. But we need somewhere, desperately, we need that time where we just sit back and stop everything else around us. You say, oh, I can't do that. Well, you've done it for the past 6 weeks. You've done it. If you can do it, virus, you can do it for the Word of God. You can slow down and stop everything and spend some time in the Bible. Blessed is the man. I was reading in Jeremiah chapter 40, but look back at Jeremiah chapter 17. I think this has always been here in the Bible, but it's only been in my Bible since a few days ago. I know I've read it before, but I didn't put it together. But Jeremiah 17, look at verse 7. See if it sounds familiar. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Look at verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Doesn't that sound awful familiar? That's Psalm 1, verse number 2 and verse number 3. Yeah, this is written by Jeremiah. And he's telling us the same thing. The Word of God will produce fruit. The Word of God will not wither. We'll be blessed. I think it's interesting to note that verse 7 and 8 come... You'll like my math here. 7 and 8 come before 9. Did you know that? The kids probably, they're all homeschooling now. They didn't realize that. 7 and 8 comes before 9. But verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We always focus on verse number 9. And right before that, verse 7 and 8, the opposite of it is, blessed is the man. You want to control that deceitful, wicked heart? Get in the Bible daily. Read the Word of God. It is, really, the cure that we need. One other verse, Joshua chapter 1. If you go back to Psalms and then it's back before that. Not an unfamiliar verse, but Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It blesses. The Word of God blesses. What does it do? It blesses. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, that's this, your Bible, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now that doesn't mean you're not supposed to say it or speak it. It means it's never going to go far from you. It's not going to depart from thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Now the Bible is not guaranteeing that if you meditate on it, you're going to succeed on the stock market. It's not saying you're going to become wealthy and rich and prosperous in that way. But it's simply saying that in your life you'll have good success, you'll have peace, you'll have happiness. You'll be blessed if the Word of God is a daily part of our life. What does the Word of God do? It blesses. Back to Psalm 119. The second thing the Word of God does is it gives life. It gives life. Do you want life? Eternal life, first of all. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Being born again by the Word of God. It gives life. Then Jesus said, I've come to give them life and give them life more abundantly. So the Bible not only gives us eternal life, but it gives us a joyful life, a blessed life. Look at verse 25 in Psalm 119. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Quicken thou me. You know what the word quicken means? It means to give life. Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible quickens you. It gives you life. Verse number 37 in this same chapter or this psalm. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. Quicken me. You want life? It's not in the bars. It's not in the nightclubs. It's not in that lifestyle. You want life? It comes from the Word of God. There's so many verses here, I'm afraid we're not going to have time to look at all of them, but look at verse 40. There are actually 11 verses in this very chapter, in this one psalm, 11 times that word quicken or quickened shows up in this psalm. 11 times. Putting the emphasis on the fact that the Bible will give you life. You'll have a different outlook when you read it. You might be depressed or discouraged or down when you sit down to read, but if you'll read and if you let that water wash over you, it will encourage you. It will spring you back to life. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Verse number 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Quicken me. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Verse 88. Maybe we are going to look at all of them. Verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. The word of God gives life. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Next time you're discouraged, next time you're afflicted, next time you're suffering. Again, we talked about it last week. There's a reference to suffering in Psalm 119, this one chapter. Over 60 times there's a reference to afflictions or trials. And the psalmist who wrote Psalm 119 found the cure for those afflictions. Was in reading the Word. Verse 149. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Verse 154. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Verse 156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. And verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. 11 times in this one psalm, you can be quickened by the word of God. When you're discouraged, when you're in the doldrums, when things didn't work out the way you planned, the psalmist is good at writing about that. And you can be encouraged. It gives life. Number three, look at verse 28. It blesses, it gives life. Verse number 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. It gives strength. The Word of God gives strength. You want to do some weightlifting? Pick it up every day. I know it's not that heavy. It's made so everybody can do it. But you want to get strengthened? Pick up that Bible every day and read it. It will strengthen you against the devil. You know what happened when Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? The devil three times tried to get him to do something contrary to the will of God. And Jesus on all three occasions quoted the Bible. It is written, it is written, it is written. It was his strength. Boy, if he's dependent, if the living Word of God is dependent on the written Word of God for strength, how much so you and I? We need it to fight off the devil. You know how you can tell when your Bible reading's not what it should be? The devil's having more success than he normally does. He's bothering you more. Or at least being successful in his bothering. His fiery darts are hitting their mark and feeling a little stronger. The Word of God will ward that off. It'll strengthen us. It'll strengthen us to say no to the devil. It'll strengthen us to say yes to God. Because sometimes there's things that the Lord is moving us toward that we're not really excited about, or crazy about, or wanting to do. And the Word strengthens us. You want to build up those muscles, get rid of that flab spiritually? Do some weightlifting. Pick up the Bible every day. Read it. It will strengthen you. Number four, it gives liberty. Look at verse 45. It gives liberty. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will walk in liberty, for I seek thy precepts. What does it mean by liberty? Well, you know what liberty is. Liberty is freedom. The Statue of Liberty stands for freedom. Jeremiah 40-something, go and proclaim liberty to all the inhabitants of the land. Pronounce freedom to them. The Bible says the Word of God. will allow us to walk in liberty. Brother Merle quoted the verse, "And nothing shall offend them." You'll have much more success in this world when the Bible is part of your daily life, because the things that come after you won't bother you so much. When the Bible is hidden in your heart. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." It gives us liberty from sin. Look at verse 133. Thinking along this lines, if it gives us liberty. Verse 133. "Order my steps in thy word," the psalmist said, "and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." The word of God breaks the power of sin. It gives us freedom from sin. Jesus said in John chapter 17, "Thy word is truth." And in John 8:32, you know the verse, he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The philosophies of the world, the thinking of worldliness, the pleasures of the world. You know what's going to get you free from those things? The Word of God. It's going to give you liberty. Some folks, skeptics or unbelievers, look at the Bible as a chain that binds. Well, nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. Nobody's going to tell me what I can do, can't do, where I can go, can't go. They think the Bible binds them. They're already bound. The Bible frees them. They don't have to do what everybody else is doing. They don't have to go where everybody else is going. They don't have to talk like everybody else is talking. It gives us liberty. It gives you the ability to look at what the world is doing and saying, "I just don't care." I'm not talking about the health scare right now. I'm talking about what the world's interested in and what the world is overwhelmed with and what they think is so important. I don't know about you, but every once in a while I see a commercial, I see something on television that the world is hyping and building up as some big special event. And I'll be honest, I watch a couple minutes of it. I don't know, there was something on last week or something. A tribute to Prince in the 1980s, I think. I know nothing about the guy, and he looked strange. But there was a tribute, and all these modern-day singers are all singing his songs, I guess it was. And I turned it, and I watched it for like 2 or 3 minutes. And I looked at that, and I thought, I don't get it. What? Why? What? It just didn't make any sense to me. Now, can I be honest with you? Before I got saved, that was my world. Now, that was before Prince. I got saved before the 80s, but other stuff. Okay, I got into that back. But now it's so different. I'm free. I'm free from that stuff. And the Word of God is what gives me liberty. I don't care if the world's rushing after whoever the world's rushing after today. It doesn't matter. I've got liberty. Those that are locked into this world system and have to do everything that everybody else is doing, those are the ones that are in chains. But the Word of God gives us liberty. Number 5, look at verse 66. The Word of God imparts wisdom. Verse 66, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." Teach me good judgment. That ought to be our prayer every day, shouldn't it? Teach me good judgment and knowledge. We can get knowledge and facts from books, from newspapers. I'm not sure you can get it from the news on television. But you can get facts and information. But the only book that can give you the knowledge that leads to wisdom is the Word of God. Socrates tried it. He couldn't do it. Aristotle and the others tried it. They couldn't do it. They fumbled in the dark. They came up with a couple of things that everybody thought, "Ooh, that's really impressive." And it turned out to be nothing. But the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, that's been quoted down through the ages, is still imparting wisdom to those that read it. "You have not because you ask not. Teach me good judgment," he said. Look, if you would, over to this section of 8 verses. Look at verse 97. I want to read verse 97 right down to verse 104, these eight verses. And notice this section talks about what we can receive from the Word of God. Oh, how I love thy law, he said in verse 97. It is my meditation all the day. Now, you know, that doesn't mean he was driving down the highway reading his Bible. Number one, he wasn't driving down the highway. Number two, he didn't have the 66 books of the Bible. You always got to be careful and give a disclaimer to everything you say. Because somebody thinks, oh, he really thought David was driving down the road reading his Bible. But he did say this, it is my meditation all the day. My mind never wandered, never went far from your word. Everything that I beheld, everything that I saw, every circumstance that I came in, brought me back to your word. You know how that happens? By spending time in the word daily. Because you read your Bible in the morning or sometime early in the day, hopefully you read your Bible, and then throughout the day, things just happen, and you say, wow, that's what I read about this morning. It's amazing how that happens. But if you don't read in the morning, you don't get any of that. Verse 98, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Hey, experience is a great teacher. But experience with the Word of God is even better. Verse 101, I have refrained my feet from the evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The Word of God imparts wisdom. You want wisdom? I know you want to like Solomon got it. You want to have a dream at night and say, God, give me wisdom. Boy, God gives you wisdom and there you go. That was a wonderful, miraculous thing that doesn't happen very often. You know how you can get wisdom? By spending time in the Word of God. You know how I get wisdom? By reading the Bible. Number six. I like this. Look at verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. You know what the Word of God does? It creates friends. Look around. What are the chances that you and I in this world would have met each other or known each other if it wasn't for the Word of God? It's the tie that binds. It's what brings us together. It teaches us about the Lord Jesus Christ. It teaches us about the ways of salvation, sanctification, service. It teaches us about the second coming as we saw last Sunday evening. The Word of God is what puts us together. When you have friends, you usually have friends because you have common interests with them. And our common interest is the Word of God. Look back at verse number 30. I like these three verses, verse 30, 31, and 32. I have chosen, I have stuck, I will run. I like the beginning of each verse. I have chosen the way of truth. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I will run the way of thy commandments. You know what we want people? We want people that have done the same thing. That have chosen. That are sticking. That are running and not being weary. We're choosing our friends because of our common interest in the Word of God. Isn't it a blessing when you can sit down with someone and you don't have to talk about the weather? It doesn't have to be sports. Doesn't have to be Hollywood. Doesn't have to be COVID-19. You can sit down and talk about the Bible. Man, there's nothing better than that. And the church family, the church group is a group you can do that with. So it creates friends. Choose, stick, run with those who love His Word. Number seven, we go back to verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, For thy word hath quickened me. This is my comfort. It gives comfort. Number 7, the word of God gives comfort. We've skirted around that with some of the other things we said. But here's just point blank, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. I can't tell you as a pastor the number of people that I have talked with that have gone through trials, tribulations, afflictions, and have found peace in the Psalms. A peace that passes all understanding. What is it? It's the Word of God. It's our comfort. It's our strength. It's our joy. It's our rejoicing. It strengthens our heart. Look at verse number 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. I'm not a medical doctor, wouldn't claim to be. But you know what I've experienced? That when I've got anxiety, when I'm apprehensive, I can sit down and start reading the Bible and it slows my pulse down. It calms me. It comforts me. When I'm overwhelmed, when I'm burdened, the Bible gives comfort. What did he say? We saw it Sunday night. The Lord's going to come back. Comfort one another with these words. The words of the Bible. They give us comfort. Verse 82. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Mine eyes fail for thy word. He said, when I can't read it, when I can't see it, I have no comfort. I've told you it's been a month or so ago I read that book in the presence of my enemies. Martin and Gracia Burnham, missionaries in the Philippines, who I might get the year wrong right now, 2001, 2002, were taken captive by members of Abu Sayyaf. And for the next year, 11 months, they were drugged through the jungles of the Philippines, going from one place to another. Just a horrendous way to live and lifestyle, seeing people beheaded, being involved in the fighting that was going on, trying to get delivered, being hungered and thirsty and not clothed right and sleeping in the rain or whatever they could find, all the terrible things. And they desired food and they desired clothes, they desired raiment. But you know what the one thing that they wanted more than anything else in those 11 months of captivity? They wanted a Bible. They had to do whatever they could to write something down and try to go from memory because they didn't have it. They tried to sing the hymns and the songs that they remembered from their earliest years. They didn't have that comfort. While their captives were praying 3 times a day toward Mecca, and their captives were reading out loud from the Quran all during the day, and their captives were disputing with them and trying to talk to them and convert them to Islam, they just hungered and thirsted after the Word of God. We need that kind of hunger and thirst. That's what the psalmist said. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? They didn't have the comfort of the Bible. It gives comfort. Verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Unless thy law had been my delight, I would have perished. The psalmist says, you know what got through me the difficult time, through the hard times? You know what gave me comfort? Thy words. It gives comfort. And number 8, verse 133. We referenced it earlier, the second half of the verse, but look at the first half. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps in thy word. What did we see last week? Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It will show us the where we're supposed to walk. It gives direction. That's what number 8 is. It gives direction. It puts light on our path. It gives light to our feet. It shows us the way wherein we should walk and what we should avoid. It gives direction. Order my steps in thy word. Look all the way back at verse 35. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandment, for therein do I delight. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. It orders our steps. Every step. Every direction. Every step, folks, that we take ought to be measured by the Word of God. And is what I am doing pleasing to God? Is where I am going pleasing to God? Is what I am thinking pleasing to God? Is what I am planning pleasing to God? That ought to be the prime thought on our mind. And then running back up to verse 32. Not only our steps as we ponder and walk on the path, but our steps as we run. I will run the way of thy commandments. The difference between walking and running is the speed in which you move. And the psalmist said, not only is he going to order my steps, direct my path, but I'm going to run in the way of his commandments. Again, Psalm 1, blessed is a man that walketh not, standeth not, sitteth not. His forward motion is digressing. Walking, standing, sitting. But here the psalmist in Psalm 119 says, his word is a light to my path. It's directing my steps. It's helping me run after his commandments. The word of God will order our steps. Psalm 119, the scripture psalm. It impresses us. And oh, how easy it is here on a Wednesday night to look at these eight things and look at these verses in Psalm 119 and say, amen, that's right. And then walk out the door and let it make no change and have no effect. We've wasted our time. Can we take the psalmist's challenge this evening to let the Word of God do what it does best? It blesses. It gives life. It gives strength. It gives liberty. It imparts wisdom. It creates friends. It gives comfort. And it gives direction. Order my steps according to thy word. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.